Well, I just knew that today was going to be a good day. I knew in my knower, it's just tremendous to be here with you in the presence of the Lord. You know, we're privileged. We are privileged people that we have this knowledge and this access to our Father's throne. And we're aware of it, and we get to drink of the living water. We can be refreshed in Him. He, you know, He is the one who will sustain us. He wants to make us beautiful. And He's working on each one of us. And, you know, whether we like it or not, He's working on you. And sometimes we don't like the way He works on us, but He's working on us to make us beautiful for Him. He's begun a good work, and He's faithful to complete it. So thank God for everything, amen, that He allows, because it all works together. It's not all good, but it all works together for the good. We like to say this often, but we're all a work in progress here. Amen? We're a work in progress. But God sees us as complete. God sees us through the blood. Thank God for the blood, because without the blood of Jesus, we would not be able to enjoy what we enjoy. And we enjoy Him. We're not to be about just doing stuff for God. We're to walk with God. That's what it's always been about. We're not here just to hear about God. We're here to encounter God. And if in our teaching, our theology doesn't lead to an encounter with God, then it's in vain. So what we want to do is encounter Him, to experience Jesus. We don't want to just learn about Him. We want to know Him. And so the Lord is making Himself available, but He'll never force Himself on us. You know, you can sit in a banquet hall with the most awesome feast set before you, but it's your choice whether you want to indulge or not. See, God will never force you. But it does grieve Him that He has prepared such a banquet for us. And so often we disregard what He has made available for us, even on a daily basis. Do you know that God has daily bread? He makes it available to us. And it grieves Him when we don't receive what He has provided for us for that day. And I want to talk about prayer again, because any church that's going to be effective, any church that's going to move in the power of God, has got to be a church that prays. Amen. We cannot ride on the coattails of other people. We need to have our own walk with Jesus. Now, if you're a new believer, you know, you need to be mentored. You need to be taught. You need to be instructed in the Word, amen, and in righteousness. You need to be on the milk of God's Word. It's important. But there comes a time when the Father says, okay, now it's time for you to step out and to begin to walk by faith. I want you to practice what you've been hearing. What you've been taught, I want you to put into practice. So church is not about just, you know, constantly being instructed. When you know that American churches are very well instructed. We get a lot of theology, a lot of teaching, a lot of word. How many know that just getting the knowledge is not what it's all about? We are to receive knowledge of Him so that we may know Him. It's not enough just to hear the word, amen, but we must be doers of the word. And so God has called His church into a priesthood. We are royal priesthood. We are priests unto God. That wasn't a revelation to most of us here. But you know, if prayer wasn't that important, then why did Jesus put the emphasis on prayer? Why did Jesus tell us to pray if it wasn't that important? Do we really believe in the power of prayer? You know, if we really believe in the power of prayer, It's going to be reflected in the fact that we are people of prayer. Is that right? I mean, if we believe in the power of prayer, then we will pray. If we just think that we're sitting around, you know, sometimes we think prayer is just sitting around in a circle. And it's this boring thing of just sitting around asking God for stuff. Prayer, amen, is not about just asking God for stuff. There's a time to ask God for things, right? We have our petitions. We come before our Father when we can make our petitions known. But prayer ultimately is always relationship with Jesus. Amen. It's always experiencing and encountering God. Prayer is not just asking for things. Prayer is praise. Prayer is worship. Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is invoking heaven's influence in the earth realm. In the very beginning, you know, God gave man the authority, didn't he? He gave him the dominion over the earth. And so because we'd been given that authority, he placed us as representatives of the kingdom government of heaven to what? Invoke the influence of heaven. And someone said prayer is man exercising his legal authority on earth to invoke heaven's influence on the earth. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them," here the Trinity is agreeing, "let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God did not say, "Let us have dominion." But in the earth realm, God says, "Let them have dominion." Now, it's very important that we understand this. Because when God declares something, it is firm. It is steadfast. It cannot be revoked. Because he is a righteous king, and what he decrees, he must also follow. And so when God speaks his word is actually a law unto him as well. In other words, God will hold himself to what he says. Why? Because God is not a liar. He's not like people that lie. So God, in the beginning, gave mankind dominion over the earth. It's important that we understand what our purpose is on the earth. Because if you don't understand your purpose, you will waste your life. You will waste your time. And our purpose is to represent him as ambassadors. And God said, "Let them," mankind, "have dominion over everything he created." And that is why we must pray. That is why prayer cannot be an option. If you think prayer is optional, you've completely missed your purpose. Jesus says, when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Throughout history, God has chosen people to do his work on the earth realm. Amen? And so God is sovereign, but because God has given you and I the dominion in this realm, it was necessary for God himself to become like us, to become a man. So that he would become as Adam. Where Adam had failed, he became just like us. Why? Because God cannot violate his word. And he said, "In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die," when they violated the law of God. And folks, that assignment has not changed. So God chose Israel to represent him. A chosen people, a separated people. So that when the world would look upon Israel, they would say, "That's what God is like." And as we know, Israel has failed. As a matter of fact, all of us have failed. All of us have fallen short of his glory. So God took the initiative. God became a man in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from the curse that came upon all humanity due to the rebellion of the first mother and father. And so prayer is vitally important for the purposes of God to be accomplished in the earth. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. You see, God has chosen you and I to accomplish his purposes on the earth. So not only are we supposed to pray, but we're supposed to be also being what? Engaged in the same ministry as Jesus began. That's not just for the preacher, by the way. Amen? Every one of you here is a minister. The purpose of church and the fivefold ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, right, pastors, is to equip the church for what? The work of the ministry. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this together. We're going to do the will of God together. And we're going to pray that heaven will come to earth. Do you know why God said pray for the peace of Jerusalem? What does that mean? It means pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. Pray because Messiah will come when his people turn to the Lord and they begin to cry out to the Lord, then the Lord will come. The gospel has come to you and I, those who are non-Jewish people here today. There is a number. God knows that number. There is a remnant. God is gleaning throughout the generations. Amen. A bride, a people. And he has broken down the wall of partition between Jew or Gentile, right? Male or female, bond or free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. He's bringing together a glorious church. It's going to be his bride. But in order for the purposes of God to be accomplished, you and I must understand that as long as we drag our feet, as long as we disconnect from our number one purpose, and that is to represent Jesus Christ on the earth, that we're actually hindering the work of God. Do you know? Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness. And then the end shall come. Well, what has to happen? There has to be some people, amen, that are dispatched to go in his name and to bring the gospel. That means we have to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Do you see? God's not going to do it, folks, until you and I come into agreement with him. As in heaven, so on earth. Heaven and earth need to come together as one. We are calling in the kingdom of God. We are praying, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on the earth. Hallelujah. Do you see that God, folks, is put it in our hands? He's put the responsibility upon his people who represent him, amen, on the earth, because he has given us the dominion over this realm to represent him. We do not have to let things go, amen, in our nation. If the people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray. What did he say? And pray. And seek his face. And turn from their wicked ways. Then he said, I will hear from heaven. How many know today that God's purposes are more important than our plans? Oh, that's sometimes hard to get a hold of, isn't it? Because lots of times we'd like to do all our planning, you know, the way we like to do things, the way we think it should be. And if we have a little time over, a little spare time, we'll ask God to come in and be a part of it. How many know that's completely reversed? What does the Bible say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know, if we can just get a hold of that one, boy, it'll make a big difference. We just get our priorities in order here. Proverbs 19 and verse 21 says, there are many plans in man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. The New Living Translation says it this way, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. So God, you know what? God doesn't violate your will. He'll let you plan. He'll let you do what you want. But in another place, he says that you need to acknowledge him in all your ways. Even when you're doing your planning, you need to bring God into it because he's much smarter than we are. Amen. And he knows what's good and what's not. And sometimes we don't want to ask God because we're afraid he'll give us the answer we don't want to hear. But see, that's where faith and trust comes in, because that's really operating in unbelief. Because God's always got good in store for us. How many know God loves you? He's a good father. He wants to do well for you. He wants to bless your life in every area. He wants you to be blessed. But you've got to listen to him. He'll never force his will on you. Sometimes we get caught up in the naming and claiming according to my will. There is a such thing of naming and claiming the promises of God that he has spoken to you. When God promised Abraham, he could name and claim that promise. Are you with me today? But what we've done is we've twisted that, and now we turn that into a selfish ambition. So now I'm going to name and claim what I want. Now, if you delight yourself in the Lord, now he can give you the desires of your heart. But it's all about priority. What do we put first in our life? What are we seeking? Are we seeking his will? Are we praying for his kingdom to come first and his will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven? And then he goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. You see? Priorities. First, what does God want? What is God's priority for my life? I have never been disappointed when I put God first in my life. I've never regretted that. But I have regretted many times when I didn't do that. And sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes it takes us a while to learn. You know what? Maybe I ought to do it God's way after all. You see, the scripture gives us the authority. The word of God, amen? Gives us the authority to influence what's happening on the earth. Well, sometimes we look at the giants of society. We look at all the problems. We look at what's happening in our government. And if you're not careful, you begin to believe that it's impossible. It's too bad. It's too big. It's too far. We look around at our young people running around here lost. And we say, oh, it's just so terrible. It's so bad. Why don't we start shifting that around and say God is able? Why? Because God has given us authority to invoke heaven's influence on the earth. God has set us in place to be the salt and the light of the world. God has called us to influence nations, to influence the people of our society. We are the salt. Amen? Amen. God put us in place to change the way things are. He didn't put us in here just to survive and to live in defensive mode. Are you with me? Boxing demons all day long. It's not about that. The devil cannot stop the church from accomplishing its purpose. Except that he would lie to us and magnify the situation around us so that we begin to put more faith in the lie than in the truth. And so now when we are getting into unbelief, we don't pray because it's beyond it. Well, it's going to happen. I hear people say, well, it's going to happen anyways. Well, yes, there are prophecies that will come to pass. But how many know that God wants us to be influencers? God wants us to win souls. How many know the fruit is hanging off the vine out there? There are people that are wanting to hear what we have received. They're looking for heaven in the wrong place. Everybody wants this place called paradise. Where does it exist? It's not Hawaii. Hawaii has its problems too. You've got to have heaven in your heart. You've got to be filled with the glory of God. Amen. And you've got to know who you are as an ambassador to invoke heaven's influence on the earth realm and to be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. Not at magnifying a lie or the situation, but saying, my God is able. My God is able to bring down that giant. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than the devil. How many have ever come to a place in your life where you said, I've had enough of this? And we got mad at the devil, said, I've had enough of that. You messed with me one time too many. Do you know sometimes, folks, your anger can be a good thing if it's directed in the right way? Do you know that God gave you anger as an emotion, and it can be a healthy emotion if it's used right? Anger can be a motivator. I'm mad that the devil is destroying our children. What are we going to do about it? We're going to sit around and say, kumbaya? We've got to do something about it. Amen? God said, take my word. Speak my word. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Don't underestimate the power of God's word. Don't underestimate the power of prayer to change and influence things in your life. See, the devil wants the churches in Shelton to just hunker down in their little bunkers and hide out and wait for the rapture and just hope the boogeyman will go away. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. So when I have that kind of feeling, I'm saying, wait a minute, this isn't from God. This is illegal thinking. This is not right. God's given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Where you can bless those who curse you. We know that when we pray, it must be in accordance with God's will. Would you agree? His word is His will. So we know that if we ask anything according to His will, this is the confidence we have in Him. 1 John 5:14. He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. But we need to ask in faith, nothing doubting. Okay. Now, we can quote these scriptures. We know these scriptures. But do we really believe in the power of prayer? Do we really believe that when we pray, we can shake the nations, folks? Because God wants to. He wants to. He waits on His people, who He gave authority and dominion over the earth realm, to come to her place as a royal priesthood. To call down heaven. When we get together on Fridays, we call heaven down over this city. Amen. We're praying the kingdom to come in. Hallelujah. And we know that God is moving and God is breaking down walls and opening doors of hearts and that God is bringing down principalities and powers. We don't come against the principalities and powers. We're never instructed to do that. We are to call upon the name of the Lord. We are calling upon Jesus. Jesus will bring down the principalities and powers. That's His domain. Amen. What do? If they show up, if we see them, or they manifest, we deal with them. Amen. On the earth realm. And we kick them out and say, you're illegal. Get out of here. The kingdom of heaven is among you. A greater is on the scene now. His name is Jesus. And he lives in his people. And he has given us the authority over you. James 1:6 says, when we pray, we need to ask in faith, nothing doubting. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Okay. So we do know that we have to again believe when we come to God. Because what the devil tries to do is to try to convince you that it's just going to be another prayer. Folks, how many have maybe caught up in this mind sometimes where it's like, yeah, I've been asking the same prayer. I just keep asking. God never does anything. And then after a while, we get into the funk where, well, it's not going to make any difference because God doesn't answer my prayer anyways. Has anybody ever thought that? Or maybe you've heard that voice. You see, sometimes those aren't even your thoughts. It's the devil speaking to you, and then he tells them they're your thoughts. That's what you believe. Oh, no. You see, he's trying to constantly discourage. He's trying to constantly make us doubt in the authority that we have been given in Christ to invoke heaven's influence on the earth realm to destroy his kingdom. He knows that he has no chance against those who believe in the authority of God in their lives. He knows that. So he's constantly trying to use discouragement and to try to convince you that God doesn't hear your prayers. Do you know, if God hears your thoughts, he hears your prayers. He hears it all. He sees it all. He knows it all. And the Lord is just waiting for his people to come into agreement with what his will is so that we may pray. Amen. For that which God wants to release, but won't until a man or a woman gets into the position to agree with the Spirit of God for it to come into the earth realm. That's what happens when we pray for miracles and somebody gets healed. What's happened is heaven has come to earth. The superior reality of heaven manifests in the inferior reality of this world. That's what God has called us to do as a royal priesthood, to bring in, hallelujah, the kingdom through intercession, through prayer. Now, I want to talk about binding and loosing this morning. This is a topic that I think is often confused. And I'm going to tell you what I believe about it today, okay? So don't come up to me afterward and say, well, I disagreed with what you said. Because I have studied and prayed, and I'm convinced that what I'm going to tell you today is from the Lord. Now, you make up your own judgment, your own mind about this. But I believe that we have missed it sometimes in this area. And I'm going to talk about that right now. So, binding and loosing. Matthew 16 and verse 18, if you take a look with me. Yes. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now, remember, this is where Jesus had just asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Or he asked his disciples, and Peter said, Lord, you are the Christ. Not a Christ, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, of course, Jesus said, blessed are you, you know, Simon of Barjona, Peter, because, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. In other words, you received a revelation from the Father of who I am. And so he said, you are Peter or Petros, little stone. Remember, Jesus is the Petra. He's the big, he's the cornerstone. Amen. And he said, on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What rock is he talking about? He's talking about the truth of who Jesus Christ is. This is the cornerstone. No other foundation can be laid than what is laid. That is Christ Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no other way to the Father. There's no other way to build your life except on him. Amen. And then he told Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, I don't want to get into other theologies that revolve around this. But folks, what that really means is when he says bind, it means whatever you disallow on earth All right, will be disallowed in heaven. Whatever you allow on earth will be loosed in heaven. What is he saying? He's saying, Peter, I'm giving you authority. The keys represent authority, right? Now, did God just give authority to Peter? No. Why? Because he told his disciples to teach all the nations and to instruct them, right, in the things that I taught you. Teach them everything I taught you. In other words, replicate. Well, I spent 3 years with you, sowing into you, mentoring you, teaching you how to do this. Now I want you to take what you've learned and I want you to pass it on to faithful men and women. Amen. That will go and do the same thing. Amen. That they will reproduce. Okay. So keys represent authority. So he says, I'm giving you authority to bind and to loose, to allow and disallow. Now we know that Jesus holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. It's very clear in Revelation 1:18. And he has the ability to bind the adversary. How many know that you and I do not possess the authority to bind Lucifer? You see, Christians get into trouble because they step outside the bounds of their authority. The word Satan means adversary, so you can use that in the sense of adversaries, but we do not have the authority to bind Lucifer. Jesus has that authority, and the day is coming when he will bind him. Amen? Into the pit. But he has given us authority to deal with the demons that operate in the earth realm. And so he's saying whatever you're allowing will have already been allowed in heaven. This is what he's saying, because everything has to do with us, with heaven coming to earth. Whatever begins in heaven, amen, can continue on earth. If God speaks it in heaven, we are to speak it on earth. If God shows it in heaven, it is to be shown on earth. If it's done in heaven, it's to be done on earth. If we allow, in other words, what God is saying is this. What you allow to happen on earth is going to be divinely connected to what I'm doing in heaven. That's why we cannot name and claim according to our own will. It doesn't work. There has to be agreement with God, amen, agreement with heaven as to what his will is to be done. When we get the revelation, when we get the word from God, then we speak that word, and that word will always produce fruit. If we just, out of our own imagination, come up with stuff, and people do this, and they say, God has said, and God hasn't spoken. But if it's a true word from the Lord, it's going to happen. How many know this? We need to be very careful that we're hearing from God. Because we're messing people up and messing ourselves up if we don't. Ryrie says it this way. Heaven, not the apostles, initiates all binding and loosing. While the apostles announce these things, I agree with that. In other words, we are to announce on earth what God is announcing in heaven. When you agree with the will of God, there will be evidence, there will be fruit, there will be a manifestation of heaven on earth. If God is saying, heal the sick, and we agree with what he's doing, amen, it's going to happen. If God says, speak this word to this person, and God has spoken it from heaven, guess what? That word will not return void. You see, we've taken scriptures like that and say, well, God's word will not return void. And what we do is we take, pick and choose what we want from God's word to make it try to fit into our life. In other words, God, you're going to have to line up with my life rather than I need to line up with you. Come on, are you thinking about this right? We do that. We take something out of context, and sometimes, you know, God will speak to you from something you're reading. The word will come right off the page. Pay attention to that. But sometimes, you know, we're taking something that was applicable to a certain individual, a certain time and place. Are you with me? And then we try to say that's for me. If God says that word's for you, then that word's for you. But not because we say it's for us. Do you see, Jesus demonstrated for us on the earth, everything he did was by revelation. Everything he did was by hearing from the Father, by seeing what the Father was doing. There was times when Jesus healed everybody, and there was times when Jesus would only heal one person. And there was other times, because of their unbelief, not much happened. Why? Because he had become a servant, like you and I. And he was only going to do what the Father showed him to do. And God will not honor unbelief. Now, he had all authority, but he cannot violate his word. He cannot violate his will. And therefore, we have got to understand what the mind of God is. What is God saying? What is the will of God? If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. So what is the will of God? Do you know it's the will of God that none perish? It is the will of God that people be saved. Amen? So that you don't have to question. God wants people to be saved. So we simply need to step out and say, okay, God wants people to be saved. Lord, direct me. Show me who. Show me where. Give me the words to speak, Lord. Give me the wisdom so I know how to approach each person. And he will. Why? It's his will. That kind of prayer he answers. Matthew 18 and 18. Here we see binding and loosing mixed with prayer. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. But see, everything begins at heaven. Even the Lord's Prayer, actually, in the Latin and other translations, it's not on earth as it is in heaven. It's as in heaven, so on the earth. It all begins with heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Again, it's coming to agreement. Now, Jesus demonstrated this, binding and loosing, in Mark chapter 3, verse 27. He said, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. What was he doing? Jesus was casting out demons. And they were accusing him of casting them out by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. You remember the story? And he's saying if Satan's divided, then he's not going to succeed. He's not going to be casting himself out. However, it's another subject for another day. He does play tricks with people about that. But ultimately, he's not going to be benefiting you at all, okay? And so he said here, and you cannot enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless you first bind him up. And then he will plunder his house. Remember the time when they cried out to Jesus, thou son of David? And he said, hold your peace and come out of him. What did he do? He bound him. He took authority. Folks, some of this I have not really understood until I started to experience different things along the way that God began to make clear to me exactly what he was saying. That you and I do have authority because we've already been given the authority in Jesus' name to deal with demons. That we do have the authority to bind them in Jesus' name. But why do we bind them? We bind them so they won't torment people. We bind them so they will not speak. And we bind them for the purpose of casting them out. You first bind them and then you cast them out. I've discovered that most of the time people don't have to go through all the torment and all the flopping around on the floor and all that stuff if we just take authority and bind them in Jesus' name. There's been times when you'll bind that strong man and when he's trying to speak through somebody. Why? You don't want to listen to what he says anyways. He tells lies. We don't have to get conversational about them. Just bind them, shut them up in Jesus' name and cast them out. Tell them to go. And then in Luke 13:11, This is where the woman had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And she was bent over, could in no way raise herself up. And verse 11 and then 12. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." What is he doing? He's releasing captives. What do keys do? Keys open and close doors. You can close the door or you can open it with a key. You can bind or you can loose. So he bound, amen. And then in this case, what did he do? He loosed her from her infirmity. He let the captive go free. Aren't you and I supposed to do the same thing? Aren't we supposed to first of all be free? Amen. And then go and help others get free. God doesn't want anybody bound. No Christian has to be bound either, by the way. Not unless we want to give the devil permission. So here we're talking about prayer. We're talking about the power of prayer. We're talking about the importance of prayer. We're talking about the fact that if we do not pray, folks, things are not going to change. Do you want to see your nation saved? Amen. Do we want to see our children saved? Do we want to things change? Amen. In our churches. Amen. We have got to pray. We've got to be people of prayer. He says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Amen. It's about why? Because nothing is going to happen without his influence. God has to come. God has to show up. That's why we worship. That's why we praise him. Amen? Amen. That's why we call upon him, because we want God to show up. We don't want to play church. We want God to show up. We want to encounter God. We want people to know the real God and the reality of the kingdom. Amen. Not just goosebumps on Sunday morning, but know that this God is real. Amen. He changes lives. He saves souls. He sets captives free. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He even has authority over the weather. God always works together with man in accomplishing his purposes. To rescue humanity in the flood, he chose Noah. For the creation of a nation, he needed a man, Abraham. To lead the nation of Israel, he chose a man, Moses. To bring back Israel from captivity, he chose a man, Daniel. To defeat Jericho, he chose a man, Joshua. For the preservation of the Jews, he chose Esther. For the salvation of mankind, God needed to become a man. For the proclamation of the gospel, he chooses you and I. Will we go? Do you see that we are the ambassadors? We are his chosen, his called out ones, the ones who are to represent him, the ones who are going to call in the kingdom, amen, to earth. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray, Jesus, even as John finished the book of Revelation, he said, "Even so, come, Maranatha," amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Something in me is quickened when I say that. Come. Jesus, come. You know, when I declare the kingdom of heaven is among you, something is quickened within me. When I say, prepare the way of the Lord, something is quickened in me. Why? Because of the hour that we live in. I believe time is short. And there's only one way. That's through the cross. And we have been given a window of opportunity even for our city right now. How many see the night is coming? We're not going to look at that. We're not going to magnify that. We're not going to dwell on that. What we're going to do is say, "My God," we're going to make our declaration that my God is able to turn this city around. Amen. And my God is able to save. My God is able to heal. My God is able to deliver. And no force in hell can oppose what God is going to do through his church. He said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." That means those principalities and authorities, amen, will not be able to overcome his church until the Lord says, "It is finished. It is over. The time has come. I am coming for my bride. I'm coming for my church." And the night comes when no man shall work. We have been given a window of opportunity to make a difference, to influence what happens on the earth by praying and invoking heaven's influence on the earth realm. Thank you, Jesus. Will you join together with me to pray for our families, pray for our church, pray for our nation, pray for our city? Would we do that? Would we commit to pray? Amen. Do we understand the importance? Do we understand the power that we have? Father, we just thank you today for the word. Your word is true. Lord, we believe that you have called us as a royal priesthood and to represent you to the world and the world to you. My God, I ask you right now for grace to come upon us, that you will quicken each one of us, Lord, to pray, quicken each one of us to seek your face, to find out what you're doing and do that, to go where you're going and to speak what you're speaking. Father, we want to see your kingdom come on earth. We want to see your glory. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let us see on the earth the glory of your Son. Father God, we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that once again you will move in America. God, once again we pray that you will move in that White House. God, you will shake and you will wake them up. God, we pray you wake up, Lord, our representatives. Wake up America, God. Wake us up. Father, we pray in your mercy, but wake us up. Wake up, the sleeping giant. Wake up, your church. Wake us up inside. Bring us to high alert, Lord. Lord, shine in our hearts. Grant us holy passion to seek your face, to call heaven in. We pray, Lord, that you will manifest your glory, your presence, your power, your signs, your wonders, your miracles through your people to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is alive, that you have risen indeed. Hallelujah. To defeat, hallelujah. And bring down, Lord, every high thing that exalts itself against you, against what's true. Lord, we see there is a confrontation in the heavenlies. We have our own Mount Carmel today, God, the prophets of Baal versus the people of God. And we pray, God, may we be found faithful. May we no longer waver between two opinions. May we fully commit and dedicate ourselves to advance your kingdom, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. May we be found faithful in this. May we be ready when you come, Lord God. May we present souls to you in that day. May we see, Lord, your kingdom come. And may many people, Lord, be turned to righteousness for your glory and for your namesake. God, we're asking you for grace. Help us. God, we acknowledge we're poor in spirit. We acknowledge we can't do it without you. We acknowledge, God, that your kingdom must come in. You must come. You must show up. You must reveal yourself, Lord. God, we don't want to play church. Help us. Help us, God. How many would say today, here am I, Lord. Send me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and power and use me for your glory. I pray that out of my life, Jesus would shine, that many will come to you. Hallelujah.